Have you ever just wanted to quit? Sometimes because inadequacies, mistakes, difficulties, perhaps the attitude of others might want to make us quit a number of different things. But there's a real problem with that. We're not going to receive the reward if we quit. Therefore, I think it important that we discuss the subject this morning. We shall reap if we faint not. We will be spending a good deal of time in the book of Galatians. And so if you will mark your Bibles there, we will return to the book several different times. We also will go to other places within God's Word and see that we shall indeed reap if we faint not. For a text, I've chosen Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 because it contains that specific phrase. And it also contains a warning to brethren. As this was written to the churches in Galatia, as the Spirit directed the Apostle Paul, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. We think about our lives and we think about the issues, the situations, the things that perhaps would make some people quit. And unfortunately, some do. But we also have examples of those within the Word of God who, once they chose to serve God, would not quit regardless of the circumstances. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, we're not going to read all of these passages. I want to touch on some of them because I do want to spend most of my time in the book of Galatians. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, we find that Paul's journey took him throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia. He and those with him planned to go to other places as well, doing as directed and commanded, as all Christians are commanded, to preach and teach the Word of God. In between those times, in Antioch, we learn from Acts 16, 19, that Paul was called in a dream to go to Macedonia and help win souls for Christ. This took Paul to Philippi. There, the jailer and his family were converted, as well as Lydia and others. So we can see that when he went and answered that, what we call the Macedonian call, he went preaching and teaching the things of the kingdom, baptizing souls into Christ, and establishing congregations in those areas. Afterwards, he went to Thessalonica, where he was rejected. And so he moved on to Berea, where, as you know, he had a lot more success. And the reason was because these people searched the Scriptures after receiving it first with readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures whether those things were so. A little later, he went to Athens, also spending some time in Corinth. Then he returned to Antioch. And as we follow Paul's trip, we see in Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, having returned to Antioch. But unlike many people do, he didn't rest on his laurels. He didn't sit down and say, I'm going to take a break. I've been working too hard for a little while here. I've had all these arduous journeys. I've had people to receive the word, and what a great, wonderful situation we have. I've had people to reject the word. That's not so great. It's depressing. So I'm just going to sit down and take a break. No, that's not what we saw at all. The passage tells us where he went as he departed and his purpose for doing so. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Just how long this work took is not stated here, but the work of strengthening brethren who have been plagued by a number of problems cannot be done hastily. It takes time. It takes effort. And there is a reward. There's a reward here. When you come in contact with someone and they're struggling with their faith, they're failing to understand some things, they're perhaps succumbing to some temptations, and we are able to bring them to an understanding of their need to serve God faithfully. Oh, what a great, great privilege it is. But there's a reward beyond that. The churches in Galatia had a myriad of problems. Some of those were particular to their time, and some will affect even the congregation today. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, if you'll turn there in your Bibles, we see the problem that can affect any group of Christians in any particular generation if it is not addressed properly. If we allow anything other than the unadulterated word of God to be preached, we indeed shall also be troubled. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Here's how important it is. But though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And it's repeated in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The reasoning here is found in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Those who were perverting the gospel, those who were changing the gospel, were doing so to please men. We find that even being done today. And it's not pleasing to God, and it is not reaping properly. Some of the problems of that day are also pointed out in chapter 3, and we're not going to examine every one of these, but we're going to mention one and the problems it caused, and perhaps it will help us see why some of them fainted. When we consider our lives, we think about the hardships that we have to endure, and sometimes that causes people to faint. These people's issues were laid out. They were put down in writing so that we could know and we could understand that if we faint not, we shall reap. In verse 2, they were asked if they received the Spirit by law or by faith. You see, at that particular time, there was a problem. There were those going about teaching that since God had written a law and given it to the Jews, that was the law of God. And some were trying to bind that on others, even in areas such as Galatia. In chapter 3, verse 11, the latter part of it, they were reminded, the just shall live by faith. This is what God has given us so that we will understand. In verse 19, they were told that the law was only to last until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The seed is Christ, and Christ had come, and he had died upon Calvary's cross, and he purchased the church, and he provided the way of salvation, and the preaching of the gospel was being done in all these areas so that souls could be won for the cause of Christ. In verse 24, to help explain this, we see that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Then, in chapter 5, verse 4, as you turn over there, we'll read of the fallacy of trying to go back to a law that had been fulfilled, a law that had been nailed to the cross and thus taken out of the way. He says to them there in that letter regarding this particular problem that the church there had, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you have justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. There are those today that question whether or not a person can fall from grace. If the Galatians could fall from grace, think you not that we can fall from grace? They fainted. Finally, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, we see that although the churches in Galatia had issues, and all congregations do because they're comprised of people, the spiritual side of the gospel, the spiritual side of the church is pure. It is perfect. It is without fault. It is without error. The physical side is where all the fault and the error exist. And the same thing happened with Galatia. They, and all brethren, even today, need to be reminded of a principle that cannot be altered, cannot be destroyed. No, not by all the powers of earth. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It is so important that we understand we are to reap ultimately, but we shall reap the reward in Christ if we faint not. The Lord's church in Galatia was very dear to the Apostle Paul. He exerted a great deal of effort there, and he showed them a great deal of love. He not only established many of those congregations, he traveled back to them to visit, to encourage, to strengthen those brethren. He showed them great love. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, we see that the congregations, at least at one time, precipitated that love, or reciprocated that love. As he was directed to write to them, he said, "You know that through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where then is the blessedness you spoke of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." Many people consider, because of this passage, that Paul's thorn in the flesh was his eyes. I don't think that to be the case at all. He may have had some eyesight issues. We don't know. But there's indication that the thorn in the flesh was perhaps the Judaizing persecutors. But regardless of the reason that they had this desire to help Paul, they were showing their love. But over time, persecutions persist. Temptations, trouble, hardships abound. And perhaps because of this, some of them started to faint. So Paul was directed to write to them, to bolster them, to build them up. Remember, we read it in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Some had removed themselves from Christ by their actions. Sadly, there are those who are removing themselves from Christ today by their actions because they faint. Perhaps maybe not considering, what are they going to reap? Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, the Spirit had the Apostle Paul tell them they had become foolish. Why is it they had become foolish? I thought they were brethren. I thought they were Christians. They had become foolish because they had allowed someone to bewitch them. That's why it's important. That's why the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They searched the Scriptures daily. They were not going to allow someone to bewitch them. Let me ask you a question. Don't you suppose a bewitched soul would be more likely to faint than one who was anchored in the Word of God? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Somebody had given them misinformation. Somebody had tried to change the gospel, tricked them, beguiled them, led them away from Christ. By their actions, can we not see why in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Spirit had Paul reveal how he felt regarding them and at that time? He wrote, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." What would that mean? That meant that he had spent all that time and that effort, and at one brief moment, they had accepted the gospel of Christ. They had embraced the love of God. They had committed themselves to serve God and do His will, but then allowed someone to bewitch them, to take them away, to cause them to depart from the faith. Was it possible as asked in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, that some of them could have turned adversarial toward Paul. They could have looked down upon him now because of his diligent efforts, or in spite of his diligent efforts. Could that occur today? Well, of course it can. If brethren faint, and because of their wickedness or weakness become bewitched or deceived, they indeed could become adversarial. What was Paul asking them there as the Spirit directed him? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, it's not an easy thing to point out the fault that exists within a group. He told them the truth. But he told them the truth for their own good. A preacher that stands, even in the face of the possibility of being fired, and he stands upon the word of God, knowing full well that there were going to be some who are angered by his preaching and teaching. Now that's a strong preacher. There's where Paul was. In fact, Paul wanted to go among them again to strengthen them. He didn't want anybody to faint. He didn't want anybody to be lost. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 20, the Spirit had him express this so he could see for himself, so he could provide them encouragement, so he could provide them edification, so perhaps they could see the error of their ways and say, wait a minute, I'm wrong. I need to repent. I need to turn back to God. He wrote, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. The reports that he had been obviously getting, the information that had been provided to him, was that they had faltered. They had fainted. Perhaps some of them had even left. Our text and the title of the sermon shows why that he wanted to go. We saw earlier in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, some had fallen from grace. But we look to our text again in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Perhaps some of these people had some fight left in them. Perhaps some of these people, they simply needed additional encouragement. Perhaps some of these people just needed to know that somebody else somewhere was also fighting. Someone else somewhere was also striving to hold the line, to stand in the gap. You know, despite all the strikes against his brethren, Paul hadn't given up on them. And we should not give up on brethren. Sadly, some brethren give up on the Lord. They give up on their brethren. It's terrible when that happens. Remember, we shall reap if we faint not. We find in the 5th and the 6th chapters of this magnificent letter a number of great suggestions, which, if followed, would help keep those folks and us from growing weary, from fainting as Christians. Nobody has ever said that being a Christian is an easy thing. We all at times need encouragement. We all at times need to be lifted up. And perhaps these suggestions will help us. Number one, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The first two words there show that A, they had already become children of God. They had already begun to participate in the liberty and being free from sin. And therefore he tells them, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Again, the problem in their specific problem in that day was that someone was trying to get them to go back to the old law, or even to embrace the old law. But whether it be the bondage of the old law of their day or the bondage of sin of any other kind, Christians can't afford to faint or falter. We must stand fast. Is it going to be easy? No. Can we do it? Yes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Another passage that would help us, encourage us, that we shall reap if we faint not, is again found in Galatians chapter 5, this time verses 13 and 14. It closely mirrors what we just read. He says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And we understand what the phrase "occasion to the flesh" means. It means in accordance to the lust of the flesh, the desires of our physical bodies. We stop and think about it. God has provided means whereby every desire of the physical body that's not wicked and evil can be fulfilled and is to be fulfilled. But we also know that the end result of following the lust of the flesh is spiritual death. So we need a formula. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 provides for us this formula. This is the way we can avoid spiritual death. This is how we can not faint. This is how we can continue to look toward the end when we shall reap. To walk in the Spirit is to stay in the Word and to live by it. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." We will understand how God wants us to live. We will live how God desires that we shall live if indeed we walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we see a passage that contextually is about the spiritual gifts which were prevalent in the early church in the absence of the written word. However, we can be spiritual today by walking in the Spirit, the Word of God, just like we saw previously in Galatians 5, 16. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." When we see a brother begin to faint, when we see a brother begin to falter, that's when we should rally around. That's why we should step up. That's why we should bolster them, encourage them, help them to see that the reward is available if we faint not. Now, as we move on to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we see a concept that works in every area. Whatever it is that's planted is that which will be produced. I have an interesting phenomenon going on in my yard, and I think I figured it out. I've got little tiny oak sprigs springing up in my yard. And there's not an oak tree within, 100 yards. And yesterday I stood and watched two squirrels. And those little buggers will go right off the driveway, pick up an acorn, run over there, dig a little hole in the ground and put it in the ground. And I think, I know where the oaks are coming from. There is not a chance anywhere that corn's going to grow right there because they planted an acorn. Keep that in mind. That's important. Because this passage, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If we plant in accordance to the Word of God, we're going to reap what the Word of God promises. Mocking God is not wise, and it will result in our eternal demise. Also in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we see then what Christians are to do while we live our lives. It's in this life only that we have opportunities. It's in this life only we have choice. It's in this life only in which we can help one another. "As we have therefore opportunity." What's he saying? While you're in these bodies, while you live these lives, while you're serving God here, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, if we sow good to others, we're going to reap good. Now, that does not mean that everybody's going to do unto you like you do to them. That's just not the way humanity works. But if we sow good, we're going to reap good. Is there anything better than God's plan for the saving of a soul? Is there anything better to plant than the Word of God in the hearts and minds of man? What about those already in Christ? Is there anything better than to strengthen or encourage a brother or sister to remain faithful, to maintain a proper relationship with God? I think not, because then the whole body is stronger. And if the whole body is stronger, then they are a brighter beacon of light to those that are in the community, to those we come in contact with, to those we interact with. And they can say, I want some of that. Now, as we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, we can see that even though at times Paul thought, I may have labored in vain, even at times when even today we think we may be laboring in vain, he indeed had great hope for the churches in the area of Galatia. He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Notice, in fact, when it says you did run well, in other words, they had obeyed the truth. They at one time were children of God that were faithful, that were vibrant, that were zealous. And as the saying goes, they were on fire for the Lord. What hindered you? What happened? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What does that tell us? That tells us that one can obey the truth and then stop obeying the truth if they so choose. Now, look at verse 8. This persuasion come not of him that calleth you. Who called them? Jesus Christ called them through the gospel. Jesus Christ didn't say, start and run for a little while and then faint. Did Christ? Oh, no. All the way to the bloody end. He continued faithfully serving God. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It comes from the world. It comes from man. And then he warns them, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. We read about that in the days of Jesus, didn't we? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy, the sin that was among them. And then he says in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Oh yeah, you stumbled a little bit, but here I am to strengthen you. Here I am with this letter from the Spirit to tell you to be strong, to be courageous, to be bold in coming before God, in communicating the gospel, in reaching out to lost souls. And then know what's going to happen to those who would trouble. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. Do we want to be numbered with those who will bear condemnation because we diminished the faith of someone in the church? We should always encourage people. You know, there can be no doubt about the reality of the reward to those who keep courage and those who strive daily for the mark for the prize in Christ. It's available. It's promised in the Word, and God cannot lie. But there's also no doubt to the eternal punishment that waits to the disobedient and the ungodly. That is unquestionable. And no one can tamper with the reward. Nobody can take it from you. It is absolutely, positively, divinely insured to every soul that obeys and remains faithful and faints not. Remember, we shall reap. But then comes the big if. If we faint not. Therefore, we are to always be aware that there's always the possibility of growing weary and losing our reward. How do we have it? We have it in promise. In Second John, verse 8, there's only one chapter, we see that this beloved apostle was directed by the Spirit to urge his readers to be careful not to forfeit that which we have worked for, not to miss out on that reward that was available. And he also tells us how we are to do that. First and foremost, he says, look to yourselves. It is in the responsibility of each individual to guard their own soul. Thankfully, we have the help of brethren. Thankfully, sometimes when we get discouraged and we say, well, I just quit. Somebody says, no, we can't quit. Come on, let's soldier on. Just a few more miles. Just a few more battles. The victory awaits. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You know, some people say, well, you know, long as I just get a little bit of that reward. No, it doesn't work that way, friends. You're either going to be in heaven or out of heaven. By the same token, those who are punished are going to be in condemnation. We can also see, as we turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18, the words the Spirit gave to Paul that he could write to those brethren in Colossae, so that they and we won't permit anyone or anything to come between us and our service to God and the reward that he has promised. He says, beware. That's a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you. How are people being spoiled today? Through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. In other words, the thing that the world is leaning upon in order to draw people, to provide numbers, to feed their religious machine. That's what he's talking about. Satan is going to continue to try to bewitch us. He's going to continue to try to deceive us. He's going to convince us to relax. You've done enough. Why, you've been a Christian 40 years. Sit back. Enjoy. Because that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to faint. He wants you to relax. He wants you to tire of the good that we can do for the cause of Christ, and at the same time forfeit our promised reward. You know, one thing is sure. It is absolutely impossible to reap if we never begin to sow. But the sad truth is that we're all sowing. We're living our lives. We're doing things within our lives in some way, shape, or form. Whether good or bad, we're growing. Hopefully it's in the right way. But it is impossible to reap that heavenly reward if we don't begin to sow in Christ. That's where the obedience to the gospel comes in. One must become a child of God before they can begin to look forward to reaping the reward that awaits in Christ. That's why such an honor it is to be able to present the gospel message to those who have heard and to those who have not. Those who will respond, and sadly to some who will not. The gospel message is clear. We shall reap if we faint not. Indeed, if you're not sowing as God would have you sow, the reaping is not going to be something you desire. That being the case, you need to obey the gospel. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've allowed sin to come into your life, you need to return. But first, let's lay out the gospel plan as God laid it out in his word. One must hear the word of God, the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And people say, well, how does he draw us? Through hearing the word. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. But before we can come, we've got to believe. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. he that believeth that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One who has heard and one who has believed will diligently seek him, and as a result, they will do as commanded. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, they will repent or turn away from that life of sin. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And they will also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as Peter did on Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they will be baptized, just as Saul was. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's when the real work begins. Because following this, one must remain faithful. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we see the sad condition of one who has begun to sow, but have fainted. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again tangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What about you today, brother? Sister, if you've obeyed the gospel, have you let sin into your life? Have you not addressed it? You see, I have a responsibility to you because I'm sowing. I'm not going to faint. I'm going to tell you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26 shows the faithful Christian's responsibility as well as what the erring Christian is to do. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. They must come to godly repentance. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 tells us how to address that situation. Repent and pray. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Friends, if you're fainting, be strengthened. If you have fainted, come back. If you've not begun to sow in the kingdom, obey the gospel. Won't you come as together we stand and sing the selected hymn?